back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Thursday morning. What's left of it? In the meantime, you want to get in on some text, 251-343-0106. We will, time permitting, get to your text. So if you feel the need to weigh in on anything, please do so before the conclusion of the program. Joining us now on the line, we are always pleased to have him on, Representative Ernie Yarbrough up from Lawrence County joins us. Representative, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, sir. I'm doing fantastic. It's a beautiful morning. It's not too cold outside, but it's a beautiful day in December, and glad to be on your show.
Hey, yeah. Well, thank you for making time. Thanks for hopping on. We do appreciate it. I'll just kick it off here. These fourth years of Quadrennium are relatively slow. This will be, I guess, your first technically, but it's been relatively quiet on the legislative front this sort of off period since Yalcyone died. But what have you been up to?
Well, certainly on the personal front, you know, family and some vacation time, and just obviously work, and I take a great trip to Scotland. I do that about every year, whether it's with a group of friends or leading a history trip over there, a church and political and kind of Southern cultural history. So we hiking up in the Highlands and just kind of, again, besides work, just always taking some time to kind of replug back into nature and be amazed at God's creation. So, yeah, just been just the life of four kids and work. And I certainly have been also, though, engaged on the political front. I pre-filed a couple of bills that I've been working. One of them, which you are very familiar with, is the Lake and Riley Act, which we passed easily out of the House and out of the Senate committee last year. But a lot of good bills did not make it past that just because of filibuster and stalling stuff in the Senate. But and then the other one is the Alabama Right to Refuse Act, which is I've been really excited to see on the federal front all the work that's been happening with RFK and Trump on promoting just medical freedom. And so the Right to Refuse Act, the idea there is that we're going to protect Alabama citizens and businesses from vaccine mandates and let folks make their decisions between themselves and their doctors. So, been some political action and family stuff, but we're excited to come into our first ever reelection cycle and get back to work next month.
Yeah, and it's I guess a lot of house cleaning from stuff that got that died last year, probably more so than any other year that's going to have to be taken up. Looking forward, though, once we get sort of past some of those hurdles, and we'll see what the Senate does with rules or whatever. But I still think there's some interesting things, I'm not a big believer that anything will come of. I think the SSUT fight is going to be figured out in court before the legislature moves. But there's some other things. You and I talked about this last time you were on, school choice, and it had to do with the High School Athletic Association. But whatever Representative, whenever we talk about school choice, a number of my listeners are just not believers that we will fund it sufficiently, that, you know, the education bureaucrats, the teachers lobby, etc., is going to keep that from happening. And do you have those fears with the CHOOSE Act that, you know, it'll be something that was everybody did the victory lap on, and then when it comes time to actually implement it fully and have universal school choice, that something will come up or whatever it may be? I mean, do you have these concerns?
Well, I think that we are increasingly, in a good way, in an environment where, in Alabama at least, where the rights of the parents are more of a leaning into free market and the actual best interest of people in multiple fronts is going to take more and more control of how our state operates. Obviously, when you have teachers unions, particularly the AEA, and what they're doing and their affiliation with the NEA and jumping in for $100,000 for a Democrat on the mayor's race with someone who has supported things that are not our faith and values in schools, in my humble opinion. I think that the more that information is shared about the people and the groups and what they support, and what they are opposing in terms of school choice, the antidote to that is the knowledge to our people and our people being engaged through their elected officials. So what my expectation is that school choice has been an outrageous success. Everybody saw the demand was much greater than the initial money put back for it. And I actually fully expect that that funding will continue to grow. I think school choice is the wave of the future. And I think that the idea that parents with their money, it's not state money, it's not AEA money, it's not even school money, right? Ultimately, it is taxpayer money. And I think that the wave of the future is going to be that we're going to fund it more and that we're going to continue to fund it. I will say cautiously optimistic that we will get to a place of universal school choice. There will, of course, be battles and hurdles. There'll be things to figure out because we've not operated that way historically. And so we're one of these states that's having to navigate this path from the way things have been to the way things perhaps need to be, because we should be more focused on our faith and our values and preparing the child spiritually, mentally, intellectually, and physically for actual success. And I do believe that as we measure the outcomes and we are aligning ourselves to be more faithful stewards with the money that belongs to the citizens of our state, that that's exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting to me that, you know, and I know you and Dr. Stutz had tried the year before with school choice, and you ran into some hurdles. The second time around, it gets done. It gets done with this CHOOSE Act. And what it appears to me is the fight, they didn't really do the fight in the trenches in the state house at the time. It was sort of like, well, this is going to happen. You guys need to accept this. This is what we're going to do. And you know, but now you do see a little more resistance, and you see it with the High School Athletic mm-hmm. Association. And I, you know, based on that, because we think the High School Athletic Association, a lot of people do think that they're just predisposed to oppose school choice, and that's why they're causing all these problems. But once we get into ETF discussions, once we get into all the funding discussions, that's where they're going to flex their muscle. They're not going to do it necessarily on just getting it through. They're going to try to thwart this stuff through these parliamentary tactics.
Yeah, and I think there's two really ways I think that happens, right? That impact happens. Number one is, like you just said, through parliamentary / budget, right, dollars, right? Because you get more of what you pay for good or bad, right? AKA SNAP, welfare, you name it, good or bad, right? You get more of what you pay for. And so that will be a battle that we're going to have to fight. But there's also, I think, another elephant in the room that needs to be discussed. And that's not the only way that it's impacted. It's impacted through AEA making political contributions to Republicans, to Republican campaigns. And I'm personally of the opinion that I think we've already stopped the AEA from giving in certain races. And I'm of the opinion that we need to see the AEA not give campaign donations to state legislative races.
Or at least Republicans, right? I mean, you know,
Republicans, right. Because we're a Republican majority, super majority. I can't control what the Democrat, party does, obviously, because I'm a Republican. But I think that, particularly after, if you need any more evidence, then the AEA's continual refusal to disavow and disassociate from the NEA, and I don't care what reason you give. You watch the NEA's public, on TV, they're like get-togethers and events. They are godless. They are evil. I mean, they're over the top, just nasty. They endorse Kamala Harris, as far as a Republican is concerned, and then the AEA jumps into a mayor's race and gives $100,000 to a Democrat. Well, that's their choice. Well, I'm not like mad that they did that in terms of that's their choice. They have the freedom to do so, and that's fine. But in terms of a Republican supermajority state, when somebody tells you who they are, you should believe them.
Well, and I don't know how far back you go in Alabama politics, Representative, but when I was coming along, I mean, the AEA was synonymous in this state with Democrats. And they worked very hard. They spent a lot of money to oppose Republicans just in general. Now, maybe if you had a district that was, you know, just there was no way a Democrat was going to be elected, they would have their choice, their favorite. Maybe they would throw some money their way. But, you know, you go back to the days of Mike Hubbard, and you go back to the days of Bob Riley, and you know, even before that, it was Paul Hubbard. It was guys like that who were standing in the way of keeping Republicans from getting control of the Alabama legislature. And now fast forward, here it is. Well, you know, this is a different AEA. We're really more conservative. But I don't believe that. They'll tell you one thing, and then they'll put out in their newsletter something totally opposite.
Yeah, how we you know, when the first session that I was a legislator, when I carried the school choice legislation, you know, they put out in their newsletter how they were celebrating killing school choice, right? And so and then, you know, the opposition to it at every turn, the affiliation with a national group that is utterly and diametrically opposed to our faith, our values, our everything about, you know, what Alabama's way of life should be when it comes to our foundational values. And then again, they jump in for $100,000 for the Democrat candidate. Again, they have the freedom to do all of that, and that's fine. But for them to make that choice, but it should, in my way of thinking as a Republican, and a conservative in this state, it should not be without consequence as far as the influence we allow them to have upon Republicans in our state.
Yeah, because, I mean, I don't know how much you're involved in the, you know, ed policy and education trust funds, but that stuff, Representative, when you go to those hearings and or you go to their meeting, I mean, it's just full of AEA type. Maybe it's like more local chapters or whatever, but they have already an outsized presence in Alabama politics that just doesn't get talked about a whole lot.
Well, and look, the more that I check into things, right, I see that how we do things to ourselves as a state. The more I'm involved in state politics, the more I see how I believe state-level politics in many ways is more important than federal. It's like I've been researching, studying, reading, and reviewing these textbooks that are about to be voted on. And we do this to ourselves, right? We have a textbook committee. They're appointed by, you know, various means of how they're appointed. I think it's the governor, the state superintendent, and the state school board, I believe. And yet I start reviewing these textbooks, and it's like they're telling these second, third, fourth, fifth graders, your rights, yeah, this is the Alabama textbook up for vote now. Your rights come from the government, right? And when it comes time to list all the federal holidays, Christmas is completely left out, right? And yet there's a section where they want to put a little picture of Christmas alongside Ramadan and other stuff in these textbooks, you know? So, but we're doing, this is all decisions that we are making. Why don't we have more faith-based, Christian-based, pro-American textbooks? So again, across the board, we're doing this in many respects to ourselves, and or we're allowing entities like the AEA to have influence through campaign contributions to Republican candidates for state legislature, but they don't support our you say you do, but I'm sorry, when you remain affiliated with the NEA, I do not care the reason, find a different insurance provider or something, but there is nothing worse. If you're willing to trade affiliation with a godless, disgusting, perverse organization and saying that we can't figure out a different wage or some insurance or whatever, you know, then to me, that amounts to the fact that you are willing to allow the influence of the devil in the door for the hearts, souls, and minds of our kids. And there is no amount of money in the world that is worth that.
Go ahead.
I mean, I find it, to say that, well, we're going to allow these nasty textbooks, or we're going to allow this affiliation with this nasty national group that's evil and wicked and godless and pro-communism and all these other things because of these financial concerns, you know, this may sound, I think it's a fair and legitimate question, right? How does that not amount to to trafficking the hearts, souls, and minds of our children for money.
Well, let me just say it like this, and I, you know, whatever you think the AA is, and you laid it out there, but we know this, or at least we think this, I think this, that it's antithetical, the things it supports, to a lot of the beliefs of the people in the state. It's just that it's sort of done in a way with a wink and a nod. Maybe people aren't necessarily aware of, oh, what's the harm in this? And, well, you know, they should have a say too, but you need to do a deeper dive, a deeper analysis of really what the AA is. And you're right, its affiliations matter. They downplay them, but they're still there.
Yeah, I mean, and look, we come to this time where if you actually spend time talking to the common, everyday, God-fearing, hard-working Alabama, they're like, how are these kids getting more woke? How are they becoming less loving of their country? How are they, you know, being taught to hate their skin color, be it white or black? How are they being taught to hate, you know, Christopher Columbus or the founding fathers? Or again, not saying that there weren't, no nation has a perfect history, but how are they coming out of school, not loving their country, loving God, all these things? And you couple that with what you just said, what's the harm of, you know, whatever. No, it's because we've been asleep at the wheel. And it's because if you actually read textbooks that are being pushed in our schools, none of this stuff happens by accident. Okay, I'm a degreed engineer, scientific method, observable, measurable, and repeatable. It's because our children are being taught, or they're being exposed to things that is teaching them to hate their skin color, hate their heritage, that morality is relative. There is no God with whom we have to do. We don't have a Christian history, or it's yucky and nasty. Like, all these things, they happen for a reason, right? And it's not because it's just like osmosis. It's because we, as the citizens of this state, have, and I include myself in that. You know, my running for office is kind of part of that, is my repentance for not being more involved. And I'm trying to be extra involved now, right? It's because we, as citizens, have not taken responsibility for who we elect, for the education of our children, for all these things. And it's painful, right? In some ways, it hurts to look in the mirror and to sing that old spiritual, not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer, right? Self-responsibility, a little bit painful, but it's also wonderful, because when you get to the point, when we as Alabama citizens get to the point where we look in the mirror and we say, yes, it's our fault, guess what? We can get through the pain, because now you're able to change it. When authority flows to those who take responsibility. And when we as citizens and elected officials say it's our fault, we have done this, Lord, forgive us, now you can change your path, change your direction, and you can fix the problem. But you can't fix it until you acknowledge that this has happened because we have allowed it to happen. But we can change it, and we should.
Representative, we got to leave it there. Thanks for hopping on this morning. Let's talk again soon.
Sounds good. Thank you, sir. Have a great night.
You too. State Representative Ernie Yarborough there. Let's get a break in here. I'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. Without you, you're looking.